Welcome to Crossroads. The Chinese Communist Party is becoming increasingly isolated on the world stage. Now, NATO has officially, right now, accused the CCP of supplying Russia in the war in Ukraine. And the Chinese Communist Party has responded with wild denial, alongside new military threats. NATO, meanwhile, is now recruiting out in the Asian countries in what appears to be an expanding global alliance that recognizes the Chinese Communist Party as a threat to the free world. Now, a recent declaration from all 32 leaders of NATO is actually deeply significant. Here's what it says in the Washington Summit Declaration. This is NATO. It says the People's Republic of China, PRC, it's a CCP, stated ambitions and coercive policies continue to challenge our interests, security, and values. The deepening strategic partnership between Russia and the PRC and their mutual reinforcing attempts to undercut and reshape the rules-based international order are a cause of profound concern. They say as well, further in, the PRC has become a decisive enabler of Russia's war against Ukraine through its so-called No Limits Partnership and its large-scale support for Russia's defense industrial base. This increases the threat Russia poses to its neighbors and to the Euro-Atlantic security. We call on the PRC as a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council with a particular responsibility to uphold the purposes and principles of the UN Charter to cease all material and political support for Russia's war effort. And they say as well, this includes the transfer of dual-use materials, meaning you can use them for business, you can use them for military, such as, they say, weapons components, equipment, and raw material that serve as inputs for Russia's defense sector. They say as well, the PRC cannot enable the largest war in Europe in recent history without this negatively impacting its interest and reputation. Meaning, well, the CCP, if they continue doing this, they're going to get punished by NATO and probably the free world as a whole. They say as well, further in, the PRC continues to pose systemic challenges to Euro-Atlantic security. We have seen sustained malicious cyber and hybrid activities, including disinformation stemming from the PRC. And they say as well, we call on the PRC to uphold its commitment to act responsibly in cyberspace. We are concerned by developments in the PRC's space capabilities and activities. We call on the PRC to support international efforts to promote responsible space behavior, they say. And they note as well, the PRC continues to rapidly expand and diversify its nuclear arsenal with more warheads and a larger number of sophisticated delivery systems. We urge the PRC to engage in strategic risk reduction discussions and promote stability through transparency. We remain open to constructive engagement with the PRC, including to build reciprocal transparency with the view of safeguarding the alliance's security interests. And at the same time, we are boosting our shared awareness, enhancing our resilience and preparedness, and protecting against the PRC's coercive tactics and efforts to divide the alliance. Now, this is actually really significant. NATO is calling for specific changes to the CCP and doing it in such a way that they're recognizing the Chinese Communist Party is not even something just kind of supporting Russia right now and, you know, the war in Ukraine, but is the enabler, is the thing that's allowing Russia to do what they're doing, without which the war would probably be over. This includes, now they're making demands that the Chinese Communist Party cease all material and political support to Russia's war efforts. Meaning, of course, not just giving like dual-use technologies, things where they can say, hey, we're not supplying weapons, we're just supplying parts for weapons, for example. It also includes the political support, meaning the leadership and different strategic organizations they've established, that level of support for Russia as well. Remember, on the political side, the Chinese Communist Party was even trying to block and even encouraging different countries to refuse to participate in the peace deals that Ukraine and the free world are trying to negotiate. The Chinese Communist Party instead has its own version of that. And of course, through its coercion and control to an extent over Russia, meaning that Russia is, of course, reliant on the CCP as the enabler of the war, Russia is going to the CCP, and the CCP is trying to make, again, peace on its own terms, meaning a peace deal that would serve the interests of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, the declaration also mentions the Chinese Communist Party's no limits agreement with Russia. You might remember, not too long ago when the whole war started, when Russia and the Chinese Communist Party met and they made a no limits agreement, meaning there's no limits to it. They will do anything. If one country pushes things a bit far, the other will follow right along. And they're suggesting, you know, NATO in saying this, suggesting that that no limits agreement could actually pose a growing problem, especially as the CCP becomes more aggressive, and especially as Russia maybe eyes other powers and other countries within the former Soviet bloc, like Poland, for example. And also, while citing the fact that the Chinese Communist Party is a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, NATO is suggesting the Chinese Communist Party may be violating the UN Charter. And this has been an ongoing problem with the United Nations in general, that you have totalitarian and abusive, you know, regimes that have positions in things that are contradictory. Why is the Chinese Communist Party involved in like the Human Rights Council when the CCP is one of the biggest abusers of human rights in the world, for example? And of course, by calling out the Chinese Communist Party on this and pointing out that they are violating the UN Charter and their very actions as they take place right now, could actually have pretty broad implications as well. Now, also of note, the NATO declaration explains the threats of the CCP even beyond its support for the Russian war. It mentions, for example, the Chinese Communist Party's uses of cyber and hybrid activities. Cyber attacks and, you know, cyber spying, of course, being one side of it, which is a pretty broad spectrum. That includes, for example, Chinese hackers stealing stealing intellectual property, stealing information on how to build and steal products from other countries, and then use those to bolster the Chinese economy. But it also includes things like spying efforts. It also includes things like altering information. It also includes things meant for political interest, spying on individuals and finding out how to subvert them. And they also mention hybrid activities, which is a reference, of course, to the Chinese Communist Party's systems of what they call unrestricted warfare. Hybrid warfare is the term used for this, and that often means that you're using military and non-military tactics in conjunction with each other, or multiple different tactics in conjunction. It also includes what they call short of war tactics, meaning you push your actions right to the boundaries of what would constitute an act of war, but you never really cross that line. And so hybrid activities, although in one sense it only referred to using multiple military strategies in conjunction with each other, it actually has broader implications of the types of unrestricted war the CCP is using. Political warfare, culture warfare, drug warfare, all these things would fit under the definition of hybrid activities. They know this includes, for example, disinformation, the CCP's information operations. And I know in the U.S. we're kind of numb to it because I hear so much about it here. For the CCP, that's actually war, though. Again, I've mentioned in previous episodes the three warfare system in China. And that includes, for example, an information warfare system. The three warfares specifically are legal warfare, psychological warfare, and media warfare. You're altering the way people interpret information. Now, this declaration also notes that NATO members are concerned by developments in the CCP's space capabilities and activities, and they call on the CCP to have responsible space behavior. That in itself is a very broad topic. Space is regarded as the ultimate high ground. If a country, for example, were to put interceptors in space for ballistic missiles, because if you want to launch a ballistic missile at another country with a, you know, nuclear warhead, for example, they launch into space and come back down. And if you create interceptors in space, they can very quickly deal with those threats. During the Cold War, you know, Russia and the US, during the Cold War, space weapons were kind of regarded as almost an act of war. And when Reagan was talking, for example, about the Star Wars program of putting missile interceptors in space, that was kind of seen as the checkmate against the Russian, you know, nuclear threats. the CCP now talking about space warfare, not just in terms of weaponizing space and anti-satellite activities, which are needed to spot nuclear weapons or even for military communications. These things are seen as the enablers of a modern military. So if you take out the satellites, if you weaponize space, if you put interceptors or even nuclear weapons in space, then you've changed the game. And the Chinese Communist Party and its behavior in space is raising a lot of alarms on this. In fact, I think we'll have to get into a whole episode on this in the future. But NATO also notes the Chinese Communist Party has been expanding its nuclear arsenal. And that's important as well because while the United States is still abiding to an extent by the New START treaty with Russia, which Russia doesn't seem to be quite following either, the New START treaty was the nuclear disarmament treaty under the Obama administration. And as the United States has been slowly just dismantling and getting rid of its nuclear arsenal, other countries, the Chinese Communist Party most notably, has been bolstering it, has been expanding it, is doing it on the most aggressive level of any other nation. And notably as well, this declaration from NATO says that they are boosting their shared awareness and also working to protect the alliance against the PRC's coercive tactics and efforts to divide the alliance. And on this note too, I've mentioned before that the Chinese Communist Party has a kind of divide and conquer strategy targeted at the European Union. And they're doing this because if they go against the EU as a whole, the EU as a whole is relatively clear on the Chinese Communist Party. The European Union as a whole, they recognize the Chinese Communist Party as a threat, they're waging trade war against the CCP, and being unified, they have more strength. To bypass that, the CCP has been going to individual countries. They have individual deals with Italy, and now they're going to Hungary, as you might have seen recently. Hungary, although recognized as more of a conservative nation, Hungary has actually been getting closer to the Chinese Communist Party. In fact, the Chinese Communist Party just allowed Hungary access to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and along with that, the different international agreements and alternative security and economic alliance the CCP is trying to form is a direct challenge to NATO. And Hungary, being, you know, kind of part of the whole system with NATO and so on, is seen as something that's trying to divide it right now. Of course, not accusing Hungary of anything. I don't know what their intents are. But the CCP, without a doubt, is trying to use it as a wedge within NATO policy as it relates to the CCP and as it relates to Russia. Now, given this situation, of course, it's interesting that the NATO alliance is calling this out. They're recognizing what's happening. And NATO is now not just talking about threats in the European, you know, theater. They're talking about threats in the Asian theater. They're talking about threats from the Chinese Communist Party directly. And with this, NATO, which is more of a regional security force, is now becoming more of a global system as they recognize the CCP. Now, along with this, the Deputy Secretary General of NATO gave some direct statements on the threats from the CCP specifically, and notably the role the Chinese Communist Party is playing right now in fueling global conflict. Watch.
A lot of Russia's reconstitution of its armed forces is coming via China. So China is a major enabler, the enabler of Russia's war against Ukraine. We see Iran, we see North Korea, we see a coordination among these countries and Belarus and a few others. So we can look at the situation as we want, but the reality is that there is a pattern of aggressiveness basically fueling the war of Russia in Ukraine. So this means that China is a threat to our security.
Now, for many countries in Europe, the Russia-Ukraine war, for them, it's not just seen as a territorial dispute. You know, for us in the United States, it's far away. There's an ocean separating us from it. It's distant. But for people in Europe, this is in their own backyard. This is not just seen as some territorial dispute. For them, this is seen as a war with direct threats to their economies, direct threats to their energy infrastructure, like the blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, and things that affect their basic well-being. Not only that, but things that affect their security. Because if they support, for example, Ukraine, Russia threatens them. If they, for example, send supplies to Ukraine, Russia comes after them. And Russia can go after them not just militarily, but also through things like targeting their energy and their trade and so on. And even aside from the possibility that Russia could expand its war to other countries, which they're talking about, even possibly, you know, people are pointing to Poland, for example, there's also the growing threats from Russia against the U.S. defense involvement in Europe overall. And so if countries allow the United States to, you know, move military assets to Germany or France or otherwise, Russia is threatening them. In fact, they just had a new threat on this. Daily Mail said this. They said Russia has warned that Europe's capital cities, quote, are the potential victims if the U.S. deploys long-range missiles on the continent, Europe. After the U.S. and Germany announced at the NATO summit that they will begin distributing projectiles by 2026. It notes further in, this comes after Russia on Thursday said it would act to counter the planned U.S. deployment of long-range missiles in Germany. And this is Germany, folks, not against Russia. This isn't Ukraine. This isn't Poland. This is Germany. It says, as it regarded the NATO military alliance's actions as a serious threat to Russia's national security. Now, similar threats are being issued to other countries as well, not just Germany. And in response to this, NATO allies, including the U.S. government, are also now calling out nations on Russia's side of the conflict. Because what you have now is the formation of blocs, of alliances. For the United States, NATO, Germany, France, these countries, they are seen as one side of the conflict, you know, the UK. On the other side, you have Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, Belarus even to an extent now Hungary. But the CCP in particular is being regarded as the primary force fueling the war. When they call it the enabler, they're referring to it as a power that is enabling this to take place. And so, given the threats against Europe as a whole, the threats against every major city in Europe, as again, it's just been issued by Russia, the force enabling those threats, the force enabling that danger to Europe as a whole, they are recognizing that as China and the Chinese Communist Party. Now, some of the proposals to end this partnership on the U.S. side, they involve the potential use of a, you know, deepening trade war against the CCP because they want to split that. They want to pull out the influence of the CCP to make Russia not have that enabling force because the CCP is now being seen as the hand pulling the strings. And they're seeing trade as being the thing enabling the CCP to do this. I'll be talking more about this, though, after we get back from a quick break.
Experts agree one of the best ways to protect against financial uncertainty is to diversify your portfolio. Learn how physical gold and silver can secure your retirement funds from today's economic challenges with a gold IRA from American Hartford Gold. You can safeguard your wealth with no penalties or taxes when you transfer your current qualifying retirement accounts. Call now and our precious metals specialists will send you a free information kit, no cost or obligation. American Hartford Gold, a trusted industry leader with an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau, has a 5-star rating from thousands of happy clients. Whether you are getting physical precious metals in a gold IRA or delivered to your doorstep, we offer only the highest quality gold and silver. For your peace of mind, we also offer a no-fee buyback commitment, a low-price guarantee, along with free shipping and free insurance. So, don't wait. Call the number on your screen today and secure your financial future.
Welcome back. NATO has now officially declared that the Chinese Communist Party is the enabler of Russia's war against Ukraine. Now, this is through its no-limits partnership and large-scale support for Russia's defense industrial base. NATO allies, including the U.S. government, are also now calling out other nations on Russia's side of the conflict, including Iran, North Korea, and Belarus. But the Chinese Communist Party in particular is regarded as one of the primary forces enabling the war to take place. Now, some of the proposals on the U.S. side to end the partnership between the Chinese Communist Party and Russia, because again, if they want to end the war, the Chinese Communist Party is now seen as the factor they have to address. If they want to do this now, they're talking about potential use of deepening trade wars against the CCP. President Biden is now saying our European allies are ready to cut investment to China if it continues to support Russia. Watch.
My point is that Xi believes that China is a large enough market that they can entice any country, including European countries, to invest there in return for commitments from Europe to do A, B, C, or D, or not to do certain things. And I think you'll see that some of our European friends are going to be curtailing their investment in Russia, in China, as long as China continues to have this indirect success, help to Russia in terms of being able to help their economy as well as help them in, as a consequence of that, their ability to fight in Ukraine.
And President Biden also said that there would be a price to pay for China.
China has to understand that if they are supplying Russia with information and capacity, along with working with North Korea and others to help Russia in armament, that they're not going to benefit economically as a consequence of that by getting the kind of investment they're looking for. The issue is that we have to make sure that Xi understands there's a price to pay for undercutting both the Pacific Basin as well as Europe, and as it relates to Russia and dealing with Ukraine.
Now look, these statements from Biden, they appear to represent the potential response from NATO as a whole against the Chinese Communist Party. Foreign Policy said this. They said officials attending the summit told Foreign Policy that they are considering imposing more aggressive sanctions on Chinese entities for funneling supplies to Russia. And here's a quote. They said, "I think that secondary sanctions is something which we have to think about already." That's from the Swedish Foreign Minister Tobias Billström, saying in an interview on Tuesday, and adds, "Such sanctions could target Chinese financial institutions that help facilitate trade with Russia." Now look, of course, there's mixed analysis on whether the US and NATO allies would actually go so far as to take down the Chinese Communist Party's economy over this. But remember, this is not just some isolated issue. The United States and the European Union, as we speak and as this takes place, are already in a growing trade war against the CCP. The CCP's economy is crumbling right now and risks actually collapsing. And so additional efforts like this, not only on the trade war front, but on the security front, could have significant impacts on the CCP. And not only this, but if the CCP is growing more aggressive as this unfolds, that also poses additional problems. And frankly, they're doing it. In fact, their response to this, the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson came out and said that the NATO declaration was, quote, full of Cold War mentality and belligerent rhetoric, and said that China-related content is full of provocations, lies, incitements, and smears. And it wasn't just words. Notably, rather than back off its military support for Russia, the CCP is now doubling down. They're taking it further. And it looks like the defense agreement, you know, that no limits agreement they have, goes both ways. With a new military exercise between Russia and the CCP in the South China Sea now, seeming to point to the CCP's claims over the entire South China Sea, its potential conflicts with the Philippines, Japan, and even Taiwan. Voice of America said this. China and Russia announced Friday that they are conducting joint naval exercises in the waters and airspace near Zhangjiajie City in the south of China. The exercise, titled Joint Sea 2024, began in early July and will last until middle of the month, according to the Chinese Defense Ministry. They note that guided missile destroyers, guided missile frigates, and suppliers have assembled on China's southern coast to participate in the exercise, according to Chinese state media CGTN. They say this, quote, The ongoing exercise is to demonstrate the resolve and capabilities of the two sides, Russia and China, in jointly addressing maritime security threats and preserving global and regional peace and stability. And that's attributed to the spokesperson for China's Ministry of Defense. They add as well that this new round of naval exercises, quote, will further deepen China-Russia comprehensive strategic partnership of coordination in the new era, according to that spokesperson. And again, remember, they're holding naval exercises in that region with that stated intent. That is a reference of the CCP's claims to the entire South China Sea. And remember that while NATO was holding its meeting, it doesn't end just here. You know, there was heavy focus with NATO on the Russia-Ukraine war. While they were holding that meeting, the Chinese Communist Party was moving its military to Belarus. They were holding joint military exercises right on NATO's doorstep. The regime conducted 11 days of joint combat training with Belarus, again, right on the border of Poland and Ukraine. And the CCP also notably held the meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, where it announced a new Eurasian economic and security push, similar to like a CCP-run NATO, under the Chinese regime and its allies. And it didn't end there, in fact. The CCP even sanctioned, after all of this, 6 U.S. defense companies and senior executives for recent U.S. arms sales to Taiwan. And, you know, again, to help the island nation defend itself against a possible attack from the Chinese Communist Party. And then, even further than this, the U.S. Coast Guard spotted Chinese warships off the coast of Alaska. And keep in mind, Alaska is not just a small thing. This is in context of Russia and the CCP trying to take parts of the Arctic, something they regard as a strategic high ground, a place where they can stage attacks if there were a war against the United States. Now, even further, the CCP held internal military exercises where it carried out strikes against mock U.S. fighter jets. The Chinese Communist Party, they published photos of it. They were simulating attacks on U.S. military bases. And this would be a reference, of course, to the Chinese Communist Party's Assassin's Mace surprise attack strategy and what they would potentially use in a war against the United States. Their understood warfare tactic, as known by many defense analysts, and that strategy in particular, it would include Pearl Harbor-type strikes against U.S. military bases. And so if the CCP is carrying out simulated, you know, strikes on U.S. military bases, it is a reference to that exact strategy, and the CCP is showing it right now. Now, given the CCP's, frankly, very aggressive reaction to the NATO declaration, and with the U.S.-China trade war in the backdrop of all of this, the CCP is actually making things worse rather than better in areas where there was a possibility of things being resolved, you know, like trade agreements or something like that. It looks like the CCP is driving a wedge between itself and the free world right now. It seems that they're kind of just abandoning the free world and any possibility of peace at this point. And this goes even beyond the defense policies. We're now also waiting to see what the security agreements of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization can mean for the world, with the Chinese Communist Party and its allies, Russia and other countries in the Eurasian organization, now pushing for global security operations and new trade pacts, notably among each other. In one sense, it looks like the CCP is pushing aggressively right now to create a new world order under the China model. In other ways, it looks like a return of Cold War era policies, frankly, including the old Sino-Soviet alliance. But it also seems to be ill-timed. The Chinese economy is crumbling. And while the CCP is trying to play a stronger role in the world stage, it does not seem to have the strength behind the scenes to back it up. And even more so, as all this happens, the world is beginning to wake up and they are recognizing the subversion, the imbalances in trade policies, and more beyond that, the threat to global security posed by the Chinese Communist Party. Well, everyone, that's all for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me know in the comments what you think about NATO's declaration that the CCP is the key enabler of Russia's war in Ukraine. And also, frankly, what it means if the CCP is seemingly backing off any possibility of peace and any possibility of a trade agreement right now, which could maybe save its economy? Let me know what you think in the comments. Again, please don't forget to share this episode. And folks, thank you so much for being here. And as always, please take care of yourselves, stay informed, and stay free. Thank you.